Good morning. This morning we begin the Sefer B'Mitzvah. We are starting on Daf Beis, Amud Aleph. Good place to start. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is on the Zichron Nishmat Liba, Gabriela Bashmua. B'Mitzvah, obviously, it's a continuation of the Bavas. We learned towards the end of Masechet Bava Kama that really, truth be told, is that the Bavas are really all one, all three Bavas are really all part of one Masechet called Masechet Nizakin. And what happened, don't know when, but what happened was is that it was then broken down into three Masechtas, somewhat more bite-sized. But really, truth be told, is that they are, it's a hamshach, it's really a continuation of one or the other. In fact, if you take a look at the first Tosos of the Masechta, so he finds the continuity. In other words, that with the basic idea that from a macro standpoint, the Masechtas are all but one Masechta, so therefore you should be looking at the last Mishnah that we learned together in Baba Kama, and looking over here at this Mishnah and seeing continuity, because really it is, it's a continuation. With that being stated, let's start the Masechta. Shem Oksim Betalazeh Omer First Mishnah B'Mitzvah, I find it to be very popular at one point in time. Somebody in their yeshiva career has learned B'Mitzvah. This would be true here. It would be true Eila Mitzvah. It's also another very, very popular parak. The Mishnah starts off with the following scenario. Two people are holding on to a talis. One person says, I found it. The other one says, I found it. Zeh Omer Kula Shali, Vizeh Omer Kula Shali. One says, it all belongs to me. The other one says, it all belongs to me. The wording of the Mishnah is difficult. The Gemara itself is going to deal with the wording of the Mishnah, because is the Mishnah here dealing with one case or multiple cases? The fact that the Mishnah keeps saying the word Zeh, right? Zeh Omer Neimet Sisiya, Zeh Omer Neimet Sisiya, Zeh Omer Kulushali, Zeh Omer Kulushali. So the Mishnah is verbose, and generally speaking, we know that the Mishnah was very efficient and very economical when it comes to wording, and so why the Mishnah kept adding the word Zeh, so it's something to highlight now, and the Gemara later on is going to deal with it, and we're going to say a pshat later on. So, the basic idea over here in the Mishnah is that two people are holding on to the same object, and they're both claiming the object belongs to them. So what is going to be the resolution of this very simple conflict? Take a look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. So Rashi says that we're speaking specifically about Achiza. And why? The Ein Lezeh Koach Ba Yoser Mizeh. So that means now that they are at equal strength in terms of claim in the item. Because let's imagine, says Rashi, that one of them is holding and the other one just simply making a claim. Rashi says that's not going to work. Then the other one is going to be considered now trying to extract money from somebody else. So once you're in a position where you're no longer the muchzak and you're just making a claim where somebody else is holding the money, the only way you can extract the money is only with two witnesses. Yeah. And so therefore you're never going to arrive at the conclusion with the Mishnah will, which is that it's going to be divided and each one is going to be making a shvua. So Rashi says, and again, we'll see this in the Gemara also very clearly over the course of this morning, is that the scenario illustrated in the Mishnah is only going to be when there is an achiza on both parties on the talis. Otherwise, there is nothing to talk about without proof in the form of edim. Back to the Mishnah. So we have the scenario down. Two people are holding a talis. Each one is making a claim of kula shali, that it all belongs to me. So, what is going to be the conclusion? Mishnah writes, Zeh Yishav V'Shein Lo Ba Pachos Mechetzia, V'Zeh Yishav V'Shein Lo Ba Pachos Mechetzia. So each one is going to make making a shvua. And each one's shvua is going to be an oath that they own no less than 50% of the talis. That is a very strange formulation of the shvua, and in days coming up ahead, we're going to explain why exactly the formula is so crafted. So the achloku. But then the halacha is that after each one of them is going to be making a shvua, then there's going to be a division of the talis ad kan. That's the first case of the Mishnah. So now we're going to have a similar scenario in the Mishnah. It's just that the claims that are going to be articulated are going to be slightly modified. One person says the entire talis belongs to me, and the other one says half the talis belongs to me. So here the Mishnah says that the one who claims everything is going to swear that he has no less than 75% of the talis. The one who says that he claims half is going to swear that he has no less than 25% zenotor shosha cholakim zenotor revia, and that is going to be the division of the talis if the claims are full versus half. And again, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to understand, the Gemara is going to analyze why it is 75% and 25%. Although truth be told is that we could form out that position now, but we'll wait till the Gemara to explain. Next, Hayushnaim Rochna Gabe Behema. Oshea Echad Rochad Vechad Mani. Two people are riding on an animal, or one person's riding on the animal and the other one's leading the animal. Zamakula Shali Vizamakula Shali. So each one of them is claiming that the animal belongs to them. Zayishavishinabapachas Michetsya. This one makes a shvua that he owns not less than half of it. And then the animal is to be divided. Now, if there's agreement amongst the two participants, or if there are witnesses, so then the division will be done, but without a shvua. Ad kan divrei ha-mishnah. So the Mishnah really is treating us now to, there are three cases in the Mishnah. The first two cases, however, are essentially the same, with the only difference being the question of what the claims are. But it's rooted in the same basic idea of each one holding onto a talis. And then the next case in the Mishnah, the third case in the Mishnah, is really just but a repetition, meaning the two people are attached to an animal and connected to the animal, and each one is claiming that the entire animal belongs to them, and the animal gets divided. So why would the Mishnah need to give another case? Now, generally speaking, the Gemara asks this question, but Rashi over here writes on the Mishnah, as far as the introduction of the case of the animal, La'ash mi'inan, asa derechov umanig liknos behema min hefker. So Rashi writes over here that the reason why the Mishnah introduced us to the case of the animal is because riding an animal and leading the animal are equivalent in terms of a method of kinyan. So that's what the Mishnah wanted to teach us. Yes, it had to go through an entirely new case, which it's not new, it's just a repetition. But to make that point, however, the Mishnah felt it important to go through a case regarding an animal. Adkan. Okay, so far that takes us through the Mishnah of Shaim Oksim. Lama Lila Misna Zelmer Animasasiya Vizelmer Animasasiya. Zelmer Kula Shali Vizelmer Kula Shali. So the Gemara starts off with a discussion of the wording of the Mishnah. It seems verbose. In other words, each one of them is making the following declaration. One says, I found it, the other one says, I found it. One says, it all belongs to me, the other one says, it all belongs to me. We could have abbreviated the Mishnah. Listen, chada chada. Ketani zel omer ani mitzasiya v'kula shali, v'zel omer ani mitzasiya v'kula shali. And if the Gemara is like almost basically the editor of the Mishnah, if the Mishnah would have been written more concisely, the Mishnah would have read simply, I found it and it all belongs to me. That's how the Mishnah could have been written. And obviously when the Mishnah is trying to speak to an idea by being verbose. First, the Gemara is saying that the cases of the Mishnah are really one singular case. Okay. And that when the Mishnah says, I found it in Kula Shali, it's really all one point made by each of the litigants. V'lisni, the Gemara then asks the question, Ani mitzasiya v'ani yadal d'kula shali. Okay, even if it's one singular point, why doesn't the Mishnah just simply stop with the words, Ani mitzasiya, I found it? And why does the claim also have to include the words, Kula shali? So, itan ani mitzasiya hava minamai mitzasiya reisiya. So the Gemara says, because if the Mishnah would have stopped at just simply saying the words, Ani mitzasiya, how is Ani mitzasiya, how could have it been interpreted as, I found it, meaning I saw it? Okay, take us back to the times when we run to the car, right? Each one of them claiming that they want the passenger side. So right, what are the rules of engagement? Right, the person who calls it first, the person who sees it first. So
the kids.
Right, the one right exactly. So the one who gets there first. So over here, so the Gemara is saying that if the Mishnah would have stopped with the words anim etzasiha, so then I would have thought that what that meant was simple visual identification of the item means that the item belongs to you. That's what I would have thought. Afagav de losilei day biriya ba'al makani. I might have thought that just with visualization of the item, I have acquired the item. So Tana Kula Shali. So that's why the Mishnah now goes out of its way to say Kula Shali. The extra words Kula Shali, Debiri'iya Lokani. That by Ri'iya itself is not going to be a Kenyan. It is a strange Havamina. Why would I have thought that Ri'iya, that looking at something creates a Kenyan? Meaning even in this Havamina, which the Gemara rejects, it is difficult to understand how a Ri'iya by itself can create a Kenyan. But the Gemara says, but we have the Havamina. It needs more explanation. We had the Havamina, and to dispel that, that's why the Mishnah adds the words Kulashali. And the Gemara says, even as a Havamina, could that possibly be that the word Mitzia actually means to see something? The Gemara says, Va'amar Rabbanai, Umitzasa, Da'asaliya De'mashma. We saw this just a couple of days ago in the end of Baba Kama, where in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, we learned that the word Umitzasa is an indication not only that you found the lost item, that it's already in your hand. So you see that in the Chumash, when the Torah says the word umitzasa, it means that it's physically in your hand. So in our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says ani mitzasiya, so we had a havamina in the Mishnah that it meant just simply seeing it. It's not true. The pasuk says regarding an actual mitzia itself, and the Gemara in Baba Kama, the end of Baba Kama, the 10th parak says, it means holding it in your hand. And you've been holding it already. So the Gemara says, in. So the Gemara over here makes such an interesting distinction. In Chumash, when you see the word mitzia, umatzasa, it means physically holding on to the item. Miutana, Lishna da amanakat. But the Lashon on Mishnah does not necessarily parallel the Lashon of the Chumash. Even though in the Chumash it has a very clear definition, could be that the Mishnayos are using what is lingua franca, what is the colloquial term used at the time of the Mishnah. And the word umitzasa could now possibly, again, this is all part of the Havamina, could take on the meaning of just simply, I saw it. And seeing it by itself creates a kinyan, even though it goes against the Perish HaChumash, but that's what it could mean, because it's following not Perish HaChumash. And by simple visualization of the item, so then you could say, I found it, therefore I should get it. And even though it didn't get to my hand, but I saw it, and that should be enough to create a kinyan. So Tani Kula Shali. That's why the Mishnah says Kula Shali, the Briya Ba'ama Lo Kanila. So basically all the Gemara did was just simply set up the Havamina. So now that we understand that there actually is a Havamina, and again, even though there is one, it still requires more clarification. How can you say, I saw it and therefore I possess it? Even the Havamina itself requires more clarification, but still, it exists, you have such a Havamina. But in the Mishnayos, it's possible that Mitzia means to see it, but then the Mishnah follows up with the words Kula Shali, which are extra, and the Kula Shali is coming to tell us that that's not enough. In order to create a kinyan, you have to pick up the item. V'lisna Kula Shali v'lo bayani mitzasiya. So the Gemara says, okay, so after now having gone through a Havamina and a rejection of the Havamina, so the Gemara says, so let's just bring it around from the other side. Let's just have the Mishnah say Kula Shali, and shouldn't that be enough? Isn't Kula Shali going to be sufficient verbiage of the Mishnah so that you know that you have picked up the item, and therefore only when picking it up you have a claim to So the Gemara says, yes, that would have been good. But then the Mishnah would have missed an opportunity to teach us a point, and that is that the word mitzia, even in the Mishnah, means to hold on to something. And if the Mishnah would have just simply said Kula Shali without saying Ani Mitzasiya, the Mishnah would have missed that opportunity. So Tana Ani Mitzasiya Vahadu Tana Kula Shali Demi Mishnah Yesera Ashmi'inan Diriya Lokani. So from the extra verbiage of the Mishnah, so now we know that when you see Mitzia, it means Kinyan, physically holding on to the item. Okay. So far, so good. We have now at least mostly clarified the wording of the Mishnah. Each one who is holding on to the Talis is claiming Ani Mitzasiya, the Kula Shali, and right now the Gemara has explained to us why I need both phrases, even though one of the two phrases would be enough, and specifically Kula Shali would certainly be enough. But Ani Mitzasiya is there in the Mishnah to teach us that, despite the fact that you saw it first, that is not enough. In order to create a Kinyan, you need to take the item. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but all this while, in setting up the Mishnah, we assume that the Mishnah is talking about one case. The Gemara says the problem, however, still remains. You look, go back to the Mishnah, you look over the Mishnah, and you realize that it's very hard to say that, and the Gemara asks, V'hazeh v'zeh ketani. When you look back in the Mishnah, it keeps saying the word zeh. And the Gemara goes on, zeh omer ni mitzasiyah, v'zeh omer ni mitzasiyah, zeh omer kula shali v'chulei. Why would the Mishnah keep needing to say the word zeh if the Mishnah is dealing with one singular case where one person's holding a talis that he found, the other person's holding on to the same talis, and each one's claiming it belongs to them? Why the repetition of the word zeh? Amar Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, okay, I will concede. The Itamer of Shimi Barashi Va'amrilei Kedi. So, either Rav Papa says it, Rav Shimi Barashi says it, it was said by an anonymous Tana or Mora, Reisha ben Mitzia v'Seifa ben Mekach u'Memkar. So basically now what we are introducing ourselves to is the idea that really encoded in the Mishnah are two cases. Same result, but two cases. Case number one is the case of Mitzia. We find a lost item, me and my friend, and we both grab onto the item, and each one of us makes the claim that I found it and it all belongs to me. That's case number one in the Mishnah. That's what we'll call Mitzia. Straightforward. Case number two of the Mishnah is Mekach u'Memkar. Now, Mekach u'Memkar is a little bit trickier. In other words, so I'm going together with my friend, we're holding on to an item, each one's claiming we purchased the item. Now, that, of course, is a little bit more difficult because if we're claiming we purchased the item, that means that we both paid for it because that's how purchases work. So you paid for it. So if we both paid for it, so that means now let's go to the mocher. Let's go to the merchant. Let's ask him. They're both claiming the item was sold by you, okay? And they're both claiming that they paid you, okay? Who did you get the money from? So, in just a moment, the Gemara later on is going to ask, why don't we just simply go to the Mocher and ask the Mocher, well, who paid you? Because shouldn't that be a clear clarification of who, in fact, is the rightful owner of it? Okay. So, and we're going to, and that's an important point, obviously, and we're going to come back to that. But in the meantime, however, just setting up the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says Zeh Omer and Zeh Omer and Zeh Omer and Zeh Omer, it really are two different cases in the Mishnah. One is going on Mitzia and the other one's going on Mekach u'Memkar. Ooh, yes.
So, I thought we learned in the past that money exchanges after
Kinyan. The money that's exchanged, Mina Torah, creates a Kinyan, but you're right. In other words, but the Mashicha. Keep in mind that they're both physically holding on to the item that they purchased. So that's Hagba, Mashicha, meaning thing. However the Kinyan actually occurred, but they're physically holding the item. So that puts them now in a position where they do have a legitimate claim on the item. And they, more than a legitimate claim, we go back to the Rashi and the Mishnah, meaning they're in a Tzen Achiza, they're both holding on to the item. Okay. So this, so the question of, let's go to the Mocher and let's ask him, that question's coming up in just a moment. Why are there two cases in the Mishnah when basically they're both achieving the same basic point, two people holding on to an item, and that's all the information that we have to go on, and they're both now Muchzakim in the item, so we're going to divide the item. Why do I need the case in the Mishnah of Mitzia, and why do I need the case in the Mishnah also of Mekach u'Memkar? And the Gemara goes on to explain. We're on the top of Beis Amid Beis. Di'itana Mitzia hava mina Mitzia. So the Gemara says, when it comes to Mitzia, so I can understand why the Chacham imposed a Shvua. Because please consider that when the Chacham imposed a Shvua, that basically means we are distrustful. Right? Because think about it. They're both holding on to an item. And they both claim it belongs to them. Okay, so why don't we just simply divide the item? Meaning, what is the purpose of the Shvua? Obviously, the Shvua is there indicating that somebody over here is probably misrepresenting themselves as the true owner, right? So, the Shvua is there to try to inhibit somebody from lying. Okay. So now the Gemara says, where is a person more apt to lie? And when I say lie, what I really mean is justify to themselves that I know he held on to it first, but come on. This is not a big deal. I'll just simply grab it and make a claim as well. So the Gemara now goes on to explain that actually we can make an argument that in either one of the cases, there is a very powerful argument to make that the second person, even though he's in the wrong, but he can at least justify, rationalize why he's doing it. In the case of Mitzia, I understand why the rabbis imposed the Shvua. Because here, simple justification. Ve'amar chavar lav midichaserba ezel etpis ve'itpaleg bahadeng. Very good rationalization. Look, what just happened over here? My friend got a metzia. Okay, so in other words, that's a windfall for them, for my friend. I'm sure he wouldn't mind sharing that windfall. I'm not causing a loss towards him. In other words, he didn't work for it. He didn't do anything to gain it. All he did was have excellent mazel. I'd like to share in his mazel. I'd like literally a part of that mazel. And what's the big deal? He didn't lose. So the Gemara says, so there is rationalization for the action, and once we see that a person can rationalize that action, so therefore the Chachamim impose a Shvua to try to dissuade people from behaving that way. So Ava Mekach HaMemkar Delek LaMemar Achi, but when it comes to Mekach HaMemkar, so my friend paid for it, and now I'm going to be so chutzpedik to also make a claim on an item that my friend paid for? Okay, so there, the argument you can make is, it's very hard to rationalize that behavior, and so therefore the Chachamim don't need to impose a Shvua. The Itan of Mekach HaMemkar, and here we can also go in the other direction. And that is, when it comes to Mekach HaMemkar, Hu Derama Rabban Shvala Mishum Damare. Now in the case of Mekach HaMemkar, I can also construct an argument of rationalization. And it would go like this, Va'amar, Chavrei Dami Kayahiv, Va'ana Dami Kayavina. Look, my friend's paying for the item, but let's be honest. I too am paying for the item. So in other words, it's not like I have no skin in the game. I have skin in the game. I'm paying for the item as well. Hashta detzricha lididi, and look, I really need the item. And I know he paid for it first. But it's not going to be a big deal. Because I'll hold on to the item. I'll also pay for the item as well. And what my friend will do is he'll get a reimbursement because we really don't expect the mocher to get paid twice for one singular item. So then I'll just simply hang on to the item. I'll pay for it. And as far as my friend is concerned, he'll get a reimbursement and he'll just go somewhere else. So here also, there's a method of rationalization where the second person who paid for it and then put his hand on the item and made a claim for the item can simply say, look, I am not causing my friend a loss. He'll get reimbursed. He'll go somewhere else. He'll buy it somewhere else. This is not a big deal. So therefore, the Chachamim imposed the Shvua. Ava Metzia, the Lekel HaMemer Hachi, Emalo. But when it comes to Metzia, this is a one-time opportunity. There's nowhere else to get this Metzia. This Metzia is a Metzia. That's why it's called a Metzia. So, over here, it's harder to rationalize and justify where I'm going to say, oh, look, he could just get this somewhere else. No, he can't. It's a Metzia. It's an opportunity. And it's a singular opportunity. So, with less rationalization, I may have argued no Shavuot is necessary. So, that's why the Mishnah needs to go over the case of both Metzia and of Mekach HaMemkar. In both cases, the Chachamim imposed a Shvua, because in both cases, a person can justify and rationalize his action of why it is that even though somebody is already holding on to the item, I too will hold on to the item and I too will make a claim. And therefore, the Chachamim imposed a Shvua. Now, Mekach HaMemkar, so the Gemara says, okay, now that we've identified that our Mishnah is really talking about two cases. One, where the two people holding a Metzia, and two is where we're holding on to a purchased item. Now the Gemara is going to ask the question which I foreshadowed a couple minutes ago, and that is, V'lech Zezuzei Mimanaka. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we do the following? If they're both holding on to it, they both say they purchased it, that means that they both paid money for it. So now let's go to the Mocher, because there's only one Mocher involved in this scenario, and let's ask him, well, who paid for it? So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha denaka mitarvayu, michad midaitei umichad bakarche." Answers the Gemara, the mocher got paid twice. Now that's not nice. Let's use better language. It's not right. Right. When you sell an item to get paid twice for one single item that you sell is not right. But the Gemara acknowledges that, and the Gemara says, look, one person paid willingly. The other person paid against his will. And v'lo yadana mihu midati mihu balkarche. Now, if the mocher could just simply identify who paid and made a legitimate transaction because both participants in the transaction were willing participants, then that'd be great. But we're talking specifically about a scenario where it was hectic. The mocher did not have his full concentration, his full attention. What he knows is that he got paid twice. What he knows is that one of them shoved the money right in his face. But what he does not know, however, is which one was which. So now we're in a situation where the money no longer can tell us the truth. Usually money's good like that. Follow the money. So the money can't tell us the truth in terms of who the rightful owner is, who paid for it bidas, as opposed to who paid for bal karche, and they both paid for it, and they're both holding on to the item, and so now the only thing left to do is just simply yachloku. We're going to divide the item. But because, as we explained just a couple of moments ago, that there is a possibility that the second person really did not, he forced himself into this deal as well, and because he could rationalize and say, well, look, my friend's not really going to lose, he'll just get reimbursed, I'll take the item, he'll find this item somewhere else. So because of that, so the Chacham imposed the Shvua. Okay. Adkan, so far now we have a simple working shot in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is dealing with two people holding on to a singular item, each one claiming that they own the item. And the halacha is yachloku b'shvua. That's going to be divided with a shvua. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, there are two cases in the Mishnah. One is mitzia, the other is mekach u'memkar. And in both cases, where they both have legitimate claims, and as the Gemara just articulated, each one of them can rationalize, even though they're second in the deal, second in the holdings, but they can rationalize why it is what they're doing is not so bad. So therefore, the Chachamim imposed a division with a Shvua to hopefully negate people from forcing themselves into the situation. Okay. Lema masnis in loke ben nanas. It would seem like our Mishnah is not following like the opinion of ben nanas. The e ben nanas. So, because if it's the opinion of ben nanas ha'amar, he's of the opinion ketzad elu ve'elu bain lidei shvuas shav. How could it be that each one of them is going to be making a shvuas shav? Each one of them is going to swear falsely. So, just a quick,
or just one.
Just a quick back. Just 1 second. A quick background to understand the shita of ben nanas, and then you'll understand it in the context over here. Ben nanas is found in the Gemara in Shvuas on daf memhei. Rashi sends us there, and the case over there goes as follows. I have workers, and normally the expectation, of course, is that I'm going to pay them, and of course I'm going to pay them, but I say to them as follows, you know what, here's what we'll do. I'll give you a per diem, and what you'll do is you'll go to the local store, and you'll buy food, and he'll keep a tab, and what I'll then do is that he'll tell me how much he gave you in terms of food. In other words, we'll basically go in there, we'll do a simple accounting, I'll find out how much he paid you, I'll pay the chenvani, I'll pay the store owner, and we're good. In other words, and, you know, as long as, of course, it matches the salary that we agreed upon, we're going to be good. So he's paying his workers, but he's paying them through a middleman, and the middleman happens to be a chenvani, a merchant. Okay, and here's what happens. What happens is that now the workers go and say, you know, the chenvani hasn't sold us anything. Meaning, we didn't get paid and we didn't get food. Okay. The chenvani goes over now to the baal bais and says, well, that's funny. You know, I gave them food. They came in. They ate well. I gave them food. And here's the tab. So now the two are making claims against the baal bais that they're owed money by the baal bais. Now, obviously, they can't both be right. One of them has to be telling a lie. Has to be. But they both have claims. And now this baal bais, what is the resolution of the dual claims that are made against him? So it's a machlokus in the Mishnah and Shavuos between the Chachamim and Ben Nanas. So the Chachamim said, look, we can't have both of them. Sorry. Let me do that again. The Chachamim are of the opinion over there that both of them are going to make a Shavuah and both of them are going to take. Okay. Even though one of them is going to be lying, but each one of them has a claim. Each one of them feels that they're owed, and they haven't gotten paid. So they're both going to make a shvua, and they're both going to get paid. To which Ben Nanas is of the opinion and says, you can't do that. We can't have both people making what the Gemara here refers to as shvua shav. It's really more like a shvua sheker, but it's right. In this context, it's going to work out to be the same. You can't have both parties making a shvua when you know that one of them is not telling the truth. You can't do that. So what is going to be the resolution of Ben Anas? So they're both going to take, and neither going to make a shvua. And yes, it's going to be unfortunate for the baal bais, but I guess going forward, the baal bais knows now that somebody in this relationship is distrustful, and I guess he'll learn his lesson. But at least for the time being, the only way to resolve the fact that both of them are making claims is that the baal bais is going to be paying both of them money without a shvua, according to Ben Anas. Now let's go to our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is having two people holding on to a singular item, each one claiming the item belongs to them. And the Mishnah's conclusion is, we'll divide it, but only with a Shvuah. Divide it with a Shvuah, they both can't be telling the truth, can they? And if they both can't be telling the truth, so Ben Nanas is of the opinion that we're not going to have them make a Shvuah. Okay. So it would seem to be that our Mishnah is not going to be consistent with the opinion of Ben Nanas.
But in the second case with the sale, where they both paid, so they both, nobody's lying, they both paid.
Well, I mean,
even though one paid forcibly, maybe, and the other one voluntarily, but they both paid.
Right.
So there's no.
Right, but if the. First of all, you're approaching the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's going to give an answer very similar to what you're saying. But if I may argue for just a moment. Meaning, the second person who paid forcibly, so he doesn't have a claim. Meaning, the truth of the matter is that the item was already purchased. Mm. He forced himself into the situation, but truth be told, is that already a kinyan has occurred. Mm. So that's really, I mean, to be honest, what he's a goslin. Goslin or chamson or... Okay, I'm saying we don't know. We don't know that, but okay. Yes, Ben.
never mind.
Okay, so the Gemara says... So, I'm sorry. So the Gemara. I'm sorry. To which the Gemara says, "Lema masiz neloka benanas di benanas amar ketzadei levelo bain ledei shvua shav afilu tema benanas." The Gemara says, "No, really, truth be told, is that our Mishnah could be going like the opinion of Ben Nanas. Ha samvade ika shvua shav hacha ika lamemar deleka shvua shav amar de tarvaya bahade hadad de agvo." So the Gemara says, "Look, here's the distinction we can make, and it goes like this." In the case of the Balabais with the store owner and his workers, somebody has to be lying. Has to be. In other words, either the workers got food from the merchant, or they didn't. It's one of those two possibilities. And so when the merchant and the workers are both making a claim, so one of them has to be lying. There's no other alternative. And that's why Benanis over there says, let's not have both of them make a shvuah, because one of them is going to be making a false shvuah. At least here it's within the realm of possibility. It's unlikely. But at least it's possible that the two of them saw the metziah, the two of them grabbed it simultaneously, and the claim that Kula Shali may, in fact, from each perspective, have validity towards it. So it's unlikely, but at least possible, and that's why Benanis may agree with our Mishnah. And finally, the end of today's daf, we deal with the opinion of Sumchas. You probably expected this to come whenever we talk about the division of money. So Sumchas is of the opinion throughout Shas of divide. You have some sort of conflict over if you have disputed money, divide the disputed money. Okay, now obviously there are details within the opinion of Simchas, and we're going to touch on some of those details in just a moment. But what is our Mishnah teaching us? Our Mishnah is teaching us the division. So in that regard, that's good. But Simchas' solution of division always comes without a Shvuah. So the fact, by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah says, yes, we'll divide the disputed money, but only with a Shvuah, seems to be inconsistent with the opinion of Sumchas. And that to that the Gemara now discusses. Lema masisin de locus Sumchas. Deikus Sumchas amar mamun amunta basafi cholkin below Shvuah. It is Sumchas' opinion that money that is under dispute is going to be divided and without a Shvuah. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is not going like Sumchas. So the Gemara says, okay, velamai Rabbanan. So let's go over the alternative. Meaning that the Chachamim's general approach to disputed money is, don't divide it. Don't divide it. So Hamre Hamotzi. I'm sorry. Hamotzi Mechaver Alavaraya. The Chachamim are of the opinion that if you're going to extract money from somebody, you need to bring proof. And we don't divide disputed money. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Mai." The Gemara says, "Well, let's slow down for just a moment." Iamar Bishlam Rabbanan Hasam Delo Tafsi Tarvayhu Am Rabbanan Hamotzi Mechaver Alavaraya. So the Gemara says, "Fine. If it's money under dispute, but one person's holding on to the money, so then the Chachamim are going to have Chazaka become the determining factor in terms of who, in fact, is going to be holding on to the money. The holder holds on to his money, and there is no other taina that can get that money out of him. Fine. But over here, but over here, that both people are holding on to the money, like we saw in the first Rashi in the Mishnah, there's an achiza by both people. So now each one of them is a muchzak. So pagila bishvua. So yes, we're going to divide the money, but we're also going to make a shvua as well. But if you want to try to conform our Mishnah to the opinion of Simchas, here we're going to have a problem. Because Simchas is of the opinion where there's no tfisa, and Simchas' solution is divide the money. Here, where not only is there a dispute over money, each one is holding on to the same item, so of course Simchas' solution is going to be to divide it. And of course, it's going to be without a shvua, because that is the Simchas' general position, even when they're not holding an item. So for sure, when they're holding the item, divide it without a shvua. So it would seem like our mission is not going like Simchas. And to which the Gemara says, maybe not. I feel the tam of Simchas. Maybe there could be a way of learning our Mishnah and as the opinion of Simchas. Ki amar Simchas shema v'shema. Because look, Simchas is of the opinion that when you have money that is under dispute, so the money will be divided, but only in the case of Shema V'Shema. And again, let me just give a little bit of background so we understand where this is coming from. We did this back in Baba Kama. We did this in the beginning of the fourth parak of Baba Kama. Let's review what we learned about 3 months ago, thereabouts. We learned that my cow gored, and my cow gored your animal, and your animal was pregnant. At the time, in other words, we know for sure the animal was pregnant before the goring. And then we go to the scene of the crime, and here's what we see. We see dead paro. Your cow died based on my animal's goring, so I have to pay for that damages. And let's assume that my animal that gored is a tom, which means I'm going to be paying only chatzi nezek. I'll pay half damages. But now what we also noticed is that next to the dead mother was the dead fetus as well. So in other words, the fetus, which we know was in utero prior to the negicha, is now outside of the mother's body and also dead on the floor. And so there are really two possibilities. One is that the abortion came as a result of the negicha, and so therefore I'm going to be liable for damages to the mother and to the fetus as well. The other possibility is that the abortion took place prior to that. And we can even argue maybe it's even grumma, but in other words, the abortion took place prior to that. And so, as sad as it is, but I'm not going to be liable because my animal's goring did not cause the death of the fetus. And so I only will be financially responsible for the mother, not for the fetus as well. Now, each owner of each of these animals is making the following claim. The owner of the ox is saying, look, I'll contend that the abortion took place before the negicha. I'm not responsible for the fetus. The owner of the par is going to say, well, I'll contend that the abortion took place after the negicha, or as a result of the negicha, and you're going to be paying me half damages on both mother and on fetus. Now, neither of them know for sure what happened, and that brings us to our point. Meaning, because neither of them know for sure what happened, this is what's called Shema V'Shema. These two claims that are made against one another are... We're surmising. We're obviously advocating on our best behalf, but we don't know for sure what happened. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, Simcha says, so now this is money under dispute, Yachloku. And in that particular scenario, what that means is that on the fetus, for its value, the owner of the ox is going to be paying a quarter of the damages. A quarter of the damages, because if for sure it was full damages, being that the ox that gored was a tom, you pay chatzi nezek. So full payment would be chatzi nezek. But it could be, however, that the abortion took place beforehand. So we're going to split the difference between half and zero. The difference between half and zero is a quarter. So that is Simchas' position over there in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara says, now let's bring it around full circle to our discussion. So yes, over there, Simchas says that money under dispute is going to be divided, and yes, it's going to be divided even without a shvua, but that's only in that case in Baba Kama, where each one of the claimants is only making a tainas shema. Ava bari ubari lo. So the Gemara, I'm sorry, Lo Amar. So, but when each one of them is making a definitive claim, because look at our case. Our case, they're each holding on to the talus. Mine. And as far as each one of them is concerned, that talus belongs to me. I'm holding it with my hand. I know when I got it. Now, of course, how can they both be right? And again, the Gemara entertained the possibility that maybe they're both right, but still, each claim, we're just focusing on the claim, each claim is within the realm of Bari. And since each claim is within the realm of Bari, so now Simchus is going to tell you, yes, we'll divide the money, but only do it with a Shua, and it could very well be that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Simchus. Almost perfect. One problem. Ula Rava Bar Rav Huna Dam Rama Simchas Afila Bar Bar Michael Amemar. Now over there in the Gemara Baba Kama, as the Gemara here now is reviewing for us, not everyone agrees that Simchas is going to divide the money with no Shvua in just the case of Shema V'Shema. In fact, according to the opinion of Rava Bar Rav Huna, Simchas's position of dividing disputed money is going to be even when both claims are Bari. Now, if that's true, if you subscribe to his viewpoint, our Mishnah certainly does not seem to be going like Simchas, because each claim is a Bari, and the money is going to be divided, but only with a Shvua, and Simchas would tell you to divide the money with no Shvua. To which the Gemara says, no, afilu tema Simchas. You can still, even according to Rav Bar Rav Huna, fit Simchas in our Mishnah, and it will go like this. Ki amar Simchas heka dika drava de mamona. Look, Simchas's position is going to be in a case of drava de mamona. That expression Rashi explains, take a look at the last four lines of Rashi. Chisaron mamon. If somebody stands to lose, so that is disputed money which Simchas is going to say we're going to divide it. And with no Shvua. Because we don't, in other words, there's going to be a loss. Now, if we're going to divide the money, so all we're doing now is, of course, sharing the loss. But in other words, but in the case of Drara de Mamona, Simchas' position is divide the disputed money. Shim parazeh shloka din ha v'chisar mamon. Vin miftarana shloka din nimtzav zeh chaser v'lad paraso. Because over there, either if we go all the way to either side of the case of the ox and the pregnant cow, somebody stands to lose. So you know what? Let's split the loss and let them share and distribute the loss or gain to each one of them. Fine. But over here, we're not talking about a loss of money. Because consider the two cases of our Mishnah. One, Mitzia. Okay, it's a windfall. So no one's going to lose over here. So Simchas would tell you, fine, if there's no loss, so then I'll divide it, but only with a Shua. Like the Gemara explained earlier this morning, because each one can rationalize why it is they're going to hold on to it. And even in the case of Mecha Chomemkar, there's also not going to be a loss. Because whoever is awarded the item, the other person is going to get a reimbursement. We don't expect the Mocher to be able to hold on to both monies. So whoever doesn't get it is going to get a reimbursement. So in that case as well, it's not a loss. So there as well, Simchas may very well be of the opinion that the money will be divided, the disputed money will be divided, but with a Shvua, because over the money will be divided, but with a Shvua, because even in the case of Mecha Chomemkar, no one's going to lose. Okay, so that is what the Gemara is right now proposing. Okay, this is a good place to stop. Let's quickly recap. Started the Masechta Bamitzia this morning. The first Mishnah talks about disputed money and what to do with disputed money, and specifically when. They're really now, after going through today's daf, there are two basic variables that our Mishnah is dealing with. One, they're both holding on to the item. They both have an achiza in the item. Two, they're both making a tanis bari. They're both claiming something, the item is definitively theirs. Under those circumstances, the Mishnah says, the money will be divided, but only with a shvua. What we learned this morning is the verbiage of the Mishnah, why the Mishnah says zeh, the Gemara's conclusion is that the Mishnah really is incorporating two cases in it. One is where they find a Mitzia and they're both holding on to the Mitzia, and the other one is a purchased item and they're both holding on to the same purchased item, each one claiming that they actually bought the item. In both of those cases, the conclusion is divide it with a Shvua, and the Gemara then explained that a Shvua is necessary because in both of these cases, it would be so easy to rationalize. The second person can rationalize and justify to himself, yes, I'm the second one in, but in the case of Mitzia, I'm not causing a loss. In the case of Mecha Chomemkar, he's going to get reimbursed anyway. And finally, the last things we learned in today's daf is that according to the opinion of our Mishnah, seemingly is not going like bananas because we don't want people to make a Shvua. And if we know one of them is going to be making a false Shvua, The Gemara says no, because in our case, it's at least within the realm of possibility they both held on to the item at the same time. And then finally, the Gemara concluded today that our Mishnah seemingly is not going like Simchus, because his resolution of disputed money is always division without a Shvuah. Our Mishnah is saying you can only divide it, but only with a Shvuah. And so there are two proposals over here. One is that our Mishnah is in fact going like Simchus over here, because it's Tainas Bari, not Tainas Shema, like the case in Baba Kama, so it's different. Two is that our Mishnah is talking about where there's no loss of money. So, right, in the case of Metziah, or even the case of Mekach Lememkar, no one's going to lose money. So Sumcha says that you'll divide the money with no Shvuah is only when someone stands to lose. But if nobody stands to lose, so then divide it, but only with a Shvuah.